Addict named Mike. Hello. A grateful recovering addict. Is my mouth close enough to the mic for you? All right, good. Hey, man, it is my honor and privilege today to be able to speak to a group of your caliber, European Convention 40. I'm so glad to be here. The topic of the meeting is celebrate the promise of freedom, and this is the men's meeting, so welcome men and welcome ladies. I'm glad you're here. Welcome addicts. You guys are rebels. I don't follow rules either. Not all the rules, right? So, I want to thank you guys, the Dutch committee. You guys are throwing a really great convention. I'm having a great time. And, you have a dream and you think, hey, we could have the convention. And so you place the bid, and the next thing you know, you got to do it, and you're doing it right now, right? And I don't know if there's somebody out here from another country that's like, man, we could have this convention in our country. Let's invite NA to our house for the party, right? Because that's what it is when you bid and say, hey, look, we're ready to take it to our place. And then in a couple days, this will be a memory. It'll be, hey, remember when we threw the European Convention and everyone came to our place? What a great thing it was. And I've done that. I've felt that. You know what I mean? I've been on a committee that said, we can take the convention to our place. And if you're out there and you haven't thought about it, you could take the convention to your place, you know. One of the things I found out with Narcotics Anonymous that all things are possible, you know. You look around, and for me, I got clean in Delaware, in the United States, in 1987. And, yay. And I joined a really small fellowship. There were 12 NA groups in my area, and the other area, there were two areas in Delaware at the time, and the other area had, like, 10 meetings that were in Delaware, so there wasn't very much NA, and I bet my life on something that didn't really exist. There wasn't, people told me, don't join NA, join another 12-step fellowship, because there isn't any recovery, and I looked at that other 12-step fellowship, and I didn't relate, I didn't belong there, so it was easy for me to just say, let me go where I belong, let me go where I relate, let me go where people understand what I'm talking about. Let me be there for the next person and say welcome. And it was the right thing for me, you know. I was praying this morning about what I'm going to share about, and I don't know why I'm an addict. And you know what, maybe you'll figure out in your fourth step why you're an addict. But to me, I decided that it doesn't really matter why I'm an addict. What really matters is that I'm an addict and that I know. And this program, if I'll try to practice the spiritual principles, will make the changes in my life so that I can live, so that I can survive, you know. I used to say that I grew up in a good household, and I've had a chance to reevaluate all of this. And I think the truth is that I grew up in an emotionally abusive household and a neglectful household, you know, and that my dad neglected. Where's my dad? And he left me at the hands of my mom to, you know, punish me, abuse me, not treat me like I treat my kids. I treat my kids. There's no sharp words, you know. And I know when I was 7 years old and maybe I was 6 years old, I ran away from home because whatever was happening was so unfair. And I walked a couple kilometers, and some bigger kids picked me up and carried me back to my house. And they made sounding go there, like, really good. I think my parents knew that I ran away from home, and I was pretty far from home. And I know that I couldn't change the situation. And I know that when my friend said, I took this and I felt different, I know that when I saw the message at the family parties, all these adults are drinking this alcohol, and I drank it when I was 10 and 11 years old. And then I said, I'm open to trying everything I can get a hold of, which I did, you know. And then probably about the time I was 15, my mom started trying to get me help. And I ended up in outpatient drug treatment program at 15. I ended up getting arrested and in a lot of trouble. And it's all from addiction, and it's all from the idea that if I use something, I will either be, feel, or act better, that using something's the answer. And I know today you guys told me using isn't the answer. Using isn't going to get us, isn't going to get through life, you know, that there's a program of total abstinence and support. And joining Narcotics Anonymous, man, it's a worldwide program. I think in 1987 when I joined Narcotics Anonymous, and people in my local fellowship made a good point, all you need to be in NA is a desire to stop using. You meet the requirements. And you don't need anything else. And it really made it simple. You know, there were people that talked to me because I was younger than everybody else. I was younger than him, and he was angry. He felt cheated. I could tell, you know. That's what I believe about Wild Man, that... he was in his 40s, and I was not even 20, and he was pissed. But everybody else in NA was like, welcome, welcome, we're glad you're here, keep coming back. Maybe you meet someone that's mad that you're here. I'm a guy that met someone that was mad that I was here. And you know what, if you walk in, the disease I have, a disease of addiction, you walk in a room and there's someone that doesn't like you, maybe, and there's 99 people that do, maybe that's the only guy you see, but man, don't look at that guy. Look at the other 99 people that are glad you're here, you know? So anyway, I got in a lot of legal trouble, and I lost a lot of weight. I don't have any drug education for you today. I don't really want to talk about the drugs I used or how to use them. You guys are experts at all of that. You know, for me, there were a couple drugs that... I decided I really needed to get off of, that I was losing touch with reality. I didn't know what was going on. My brain didn't work well. You know, I knew some guys that I talked to them, and it was like, before they used, they were so bright, they could have done anything with their lives. And then talking to them, they didn't make any sense. And I realized that I was that guy. I realized that if I didn't do something, that probably I could be like my uncle, you know. And I look at my family's got addiction in it and mental illness, and my uncle lived in a shack on the side of the road and many states away, and everybody in my family was happy about it. And I really felt like, you know, caught in the grips of addiction, if I didn't get this, that maybe my family could throw me away. You know, and they'd say, we're better off for them, for it, you know. And, you know, you know, a lot of time has passed. I got clean in 87, so, you know, it's been 38 years. I just went to my dad's 85th birthday party. And in my family, everyone's got anxiety so bad, no one's going to get up and speak on this man's behalf. But he's had an amazing life, and he's amazing. And I didn't talk about how he was neglectful. I'm one of the guys that got up and spoke at the party, and I told some great stories that made him sound like a really great guy, because he is. He did the best that he could with what he had in raising me and my brother. You know, and I got to see three of his siblings have passed away already, and you know, the uncle that I had that had lived in this shack on the side of the road died in a minivan behind a flooring store in Georgia. And I don't know if the minivan ran. I don't know anything. Do you know what I mean? But I went to his funeral. I loved him. I loved my dad. My aunt said, it's amazing that you came here because you didn't really know him. And I said, oh, yeah, I know him, and I knew him, and I know you, and I'm here for you, you know? And this is all Narcotics Anonymous has given me, the ability to show up and be there for my family no matter what. You know, let me get back to talking about getting clean in in old Delaware. You know, I got clean and I started going to all the meetings. In a very short amount of time, I met everybody in the whole fellowship, and I could tell your story probably at least as interesting as you. And like I paid attention to you and everything you had to say about recovery and Narcotics Anonymous and your life, like my life depended upon it. And I didn't watch any primetime TV, like when you talk about what was on TV in the 80s and 90s. Caught in the Grips of Addiction, I didn't watch the TV. I'm at an NA meeting every night at 8 p.m. I don't have any idea of what was on from like 83 to like the end of the 90s, because I didn't watch any TV. I had failed out of high school, so you guys encouraged me to go get my GED, and that's the high school equivalency. And I got it like my first summer clean, and I went down to the university, and you know, I got the message. I understood the mission that you know, all I got to do to make it here in Narcotics Anonymous is pray for help in the morning, thank God at night, join a home group, get a sponsor, follow his direction, and don't use no matter what, carry this message. And so I moved to Newark, and I found out that there had been some NA meetings there, but they folded. And so I moved to a school, a town that had no Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, the next town over, 20 miles, I didn't have a car, I had a bicycle. And, you know, 30 kilometers away is the nearest meetings. And so I went and I started a meeting. I got the one other guy that was in the town, and I said, let's start some Narcotics Anonymous. And people drove hundreds of kilometers to support these meetings so that we didn't have to sit there by ourselves. And sometimes they were busy. And I know the first year that I did that, I was there by myself 5 or 6 times. Nobody else showed up. And, you know, the commitment that I made to Narcotics Anonymous, that I would make it, that I was going to help other people, that made it for me. You know, when it comes to the promise of freedom, our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And I didn't know anything about living. I didn't know anything about having fun when I got clean. A lot of my friends were going to NA conventions in my first year, and I said, man, I really don't even want to sit through these meetings for an hour, a regular meeting that I don't even have to go very far for. I'm not going to spend the whole weekend at one of these things. You guys have drank all the Kool-Aid, and pretty soon you'll be giving out the basic text at the airport. I went to my first convention. I had about 11 months clean. I went to Connecticut, 3rd Connecticut Regional Convention. And there were like about 3,000 people because, you know, there wasn't a convention every weekend like there is now in America. You could go to one every weekend. You could go to a couple every week. Maybe you could convention hop. You know, the message of recovery is available to us. And, you know, I heard a guy share at that convention that just for today, you never have to use again against your will. And he had over 10 years clean. It was amazing, because I didn't have anyone with over 10 years clean. Basically, NA wasn't that old at the time. And, you know, when the more time people have, and I've heard a lot of different people say it, the more time people have had clean to say you never have to use again against your will, that gets more and more powerful as people. I've met people, they've lived their whole lives, you know. They've lived 40 and 50 years clean following this program, following, you know, simple 12 steps, carrying this message, being a part of a fellowship. And, you know, those early days of the meetings that I started, within 6 months, we started 7 meetings in Newark, Delaware. And I know all those meetings are folded now, but they helped a lot of people when they were there, you know. And the really great thing is that, you know, if you move a place, you know, I was thinking about how the message is carried. I tuned into to Ron's Zoom meeting earlier because I didn't make it out of my room. And, you know, I think about the early days, and it's like you get a meeting list and you get a paper map, and there's no cell phones. And like a land pirate, you find like where you're going, or you get the convention and you jump in the car. The world's such a different place. You know, I was talking to my friend Anna, and she said she was talking about the virtual reality, you know, people meeting across the place. I talked to my friend Max, and he said that his group is hybrid, and there's four people that aren't in the meeting that come to the meeting every week, and they're not going to not make it hybrid because that's how we're doing it, you know. And we've got all this technology at our disposal, and it's really made NA a whole bigger place, you know, what we can do for each other and how we can recover. So let me see. Time management. You know, so the act of being able to join Narcotics Anonymous and never have to use again against my will, and have the support and love of members in my local meetings, and then meeting people, you know, I've managed to be employable, to be legal on the road with a car that has insurance. I live inside, you know. I'm grateful for the things that really matter, you know what I mean? Like, I turn on the light switch and the light comes on, because all the problems that I had in addiction, the rules have all changed. Life is completely different now. You know, I've had relationships, and for me, look, don't ask me to speak at your relationships meeting. Relationships don't last, you know. They have an expiration date, and maybe I'm a little bit of a cynical pessimist, but that's where I'm at right now, right? So I've got four kids, and they're 9, 15, 23, 31, and I'm blessed to have children that I can be there for, that I love, And it is a freedom. My one kid has just sold her house in Louisville, Kentucky, and moved to Richmond, Virginia, I think today or yesterday. And I'm there for my kids, you know. I didn't really know what I was going to share about when I got here, but my second marriage, when I got married, I said to a little girl, I promise to love you. And she was 7 years old. And her name was Kyla, and she had mental illness. And I was married to her mom for 12 years, but we had a bad time. It was a really hard time. She needed to be institutionalized, and maybe she needed to be medicated. And there were 3 years where she lived in group homes and psych hospitals, but she did a lot of crazy things. Like, one day she got up and she took my son's scooter and she hit my car over every surface of it, broke the back window, broke all, you know, she did, you know, $3,000 damage, like, probably 3,000 euros damage to the car. And it's like, you know, when you're the stepdad, actually, being a stepdad is the hardest job in the world. It's the hardest job. And if you are, I admire you. You can do it. And I loved her. I had to pick her up for visitations when she was at the psych hospital, and she would get a weekend pass Friday to Sunday, and I'd set the rules down when I picked her up, because she'd be like, not you. And I'd say, okay, here's the rules. You're going to tell me how you're doing. We're going to get along really good. I'm going to buy you whatever you want to eat, and we're going to be friends for this ride, you know, hour and a half in the car each way. And I loved her, and sometime after, I came home, I went to the European, this is my fifth European convention, and I came home from the one that was in Ukraine, and my wife said, I don't love you anymore, and I want a divorce, and I gave her the divorce. We were divorced before the year was over, and sometime about a year later, my stepdaughter, and she let me know, she hated my guts, and I said, I don't care, I love you, and I'm here for you, call me anytime. And a year later, she overdosed and she died. And you know what? My ex-wife decided that she was going to write obituaries that had everybody's name but my name after I was her dad for 12 years. I was there, you know? And sometimes in life, stuff isn't fair. And what you get to do is you get to show up and take it on the chin, because that's my life, right? And I didn't get to, in the obituary, I wasn't invited to the funeral. My kids weren't invited to the funeral. So you know what I did? I had my own funeral. I had my own memorial service for this beautiful little girl. I wanted her to be a doctor. I wanted her to be, you know, she didn't want to be a doctor, but I wanted her to be the thing she wanted to be, and to have the two children with the names that that she said they were going to be. And you guys were there for me through all of this and all of life that's happened. You know, I think about the stuff I did. It's socially acceptable to go back to school and get your college degree and then do and be something, you know. And I did it, and I did that for 12 years, and I'd do something else. And you guys still love me. You know what I mean? Like, what I do for my career, you know, it's beautiful, you know. And for me, like, my kids, the kids that I have that are under 18, they're 9 and 15, and I got them half the time, you know. And all I want to do is be there for them. If Narcotics Anonymous asks me to do something, I'll do it anywhere. If you want to invite me to your party, I'm coming just to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, let's have a good time. Because I get to celebrate, you know, all the great things that you are and all the things that we've done in our lives. And everything that's your experience has shown me that I can do anything, you know, with my life. I can't do everything, you know. And so, you know, if you ask me to do something, I look at the calendar because I got my kids half the time. And if I have my kids, the answer is no. You know, it's got to be really great for me to try to negotiate, to juggle my schedule, to not have my kids to go do something with NA. Because the truth is, next year, maybe the calendar will be different. I can do it next year. You know what I mean? Maybe this isn't the year. You know, I found that I've been able to find out what fun is for me in my life, you know. And I like music. I like some conventions. I like traveling. I like vacation, you know. And I've done, like, all this stuff. I was at the World Convention back in September, and one of the meetings had let out, and there were, like, 16,000 people on the street. And I looked around, and someone said to me, "Man, this is just like a concert." And I was like, "Yeah, except for everybody here is the rock star." You know, because, you know, like, my early meetings, I met people and I was like, "Man, they're incredible. They've got the 5 years. They're the thing that makes this program." And it isn't. It's all of us. It's everybody. It's the unity that we have. It's one addict helping another. You know, I was talking to a guy, who was saying that his friend had gotten the adolescent youth jail commitment, and he went with him there, and the guy was talking down to him because they were young. And my local H&I commitment committee got me to go to Ferris School for Boys. It was a youth penitentiary that had children, 13 to 18 years old, locked up, the barbed wire fences. And I never felt that way about anybody there. I took everybody, 13, 14, 15, 16. If you got a drug problem, maybe you have addiction, you know. Maybe Narcotics Anonymous can help you. Why don't you come and check it out? And I carry that message because that's the message that we need. And I don't know if you run into a 13-year-old in your NA meeting, if you'll take him seriously. I will take him seriously because I've met a lot of people who have addiction, and I've watched them, and I've watched them destroy themselves, you know. The thing that's really come out for me in being an NA member for 38 years, I've met a lot of people that have sought this message, and while they were NA members, they did great. They had wonderful lives, and some people have gone back out, you know. And there was a time where if I saw you and we were at the store and I saw you, I would yell, "Hey, N.A., remember N.A., come on back." And I would see people at the store and they would run the other way. They'd say, "There's that guy I know from N.A. The crazy guy is going to yell N.A. at me." And I'm probably not going to do that. I'm more likely to call you now. Everyone's got cell phones in their hands, so maybe I'll call you and say, "Hey, come on back as soon as you can. Do you need any help? Can I help you get there? What do we need to do?" Because some of us, you know, the only opportunity is, you know, one addict helping another. You might be the only basic text that someone ever reads. And I know that. So I try to behave. You know, I'm pretty civilized at this point. I was kind of an animal when I got clean. And so to be able to live and enjoy my life and you know, be a part of this Narcotics Anonymous, I have, you know what, I look at what, you know, people around me have done. I've got friends that got clean with me, and a guy that, I think he stopped coming to NA for like 20 years, texted me last weekend, or it was July 4th, and he was at a convention in Michigan, and he said, hey, I'm at this convention, and it's like, if you'd have told me you were going to the convention, I would have dropped everything and come over and hang out with you, you know what I mean? One of my road dogs in the earliest days, you know, and the really, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is going to be here. You know what I mean? One of the things I learned early on, I decided it was completely true, that Narcotics Anonymous doesn't really need me, but I need Narcotics Anonymous. I heard someone share that, and I adopted it. And I don't mean to say that narcotics doesn't need you, because it needs all of us, you know, it needs all of you. I'm the one that needs it, you know. And, you know, in all this time, I've had a sponsor, I've had a home group, I'm on my, like, 10th home group. I've been there 20 years. I've been there 19 years, okay? Coming up on 20. And, you know, all I have to do is try to practice spiritual principles, pray and meditate, ask God what his will is in life for me, and try to follow that. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I must be done. Thank you.